Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
I continue to have my annual forecast model on sale now. It's 50% off. We put it out every February, and it's a pretty detailed document going through cyclical forecasts for the major markets. Did a pretty good job here in recent years. So 2022 half off is a promo code. Go to VRTrader.com and click on VR Forecaster, and it's about a 30-page report, and well worth the money, and particularly with some of the results we've seen. Again, it's based on a lot of cycle work we've done over the years. Nothing's 100%, but it's a pretty good report. So that's, of course, you can sign up for any of other newsletters as well with the same promo code of 2022 half off, but that's the one I think you should pay attention to. And while we're at it, I like to make my regular disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. We just do the research and write our Leibovit VR newsletters.
Now, I know this is, well, old news now, but I still think it's relevant to you here. You were one of the top all-time gold timers in their magazine, and you were named in the last edition of the Timers Digest as the number one ranked percentage gainer from the Vancouver World Outlook Conference. So, Mark, you have a bit of a track record that's pretty good.
Well, you know, you do this for a number of years, and you're a survivor. I guess you really hit them a number of times. Yeah, I've been ranked a few times, but like anything else, you know, you don't have to be in the number one slot to be successful. You could be number three, you're still doing okay, right?
When you compare the millions of people who try to do this successfully.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn from hard knocks at it, and you know, basically I take the viewpoint that we're trying to make a living here. We're not long-term investors, though I make some long-term comments, and we talk about various markets and where we think things are going, but I just have I've been trained a little differently. You know, I view this as a fun job, and if you can pull some money out every day or every few days out of it, I'd rather be a trader. And though many of the ideas, you know, could be investment ideas, you don't have to trade them along with us. But when I was a floor trader decades ago, the people that I worked with, that was their attitude. You know, every day is a new day. Go home flat. That means no positions at the end of the day. If you can, you know, take home your check, and you start fresh the next day. And it's funny because if you look at the markets, there's always something that pops up every day, a new stock, new index, you know, new story. It may or may not be tradable, but if it is, you take advantage of it. And I suppose if you want to keep a bunch of money in mutual funds or ETFs or treasuries and all kinds of investments on the side, that's fine. But, you know, I sort of look at this as a fun way of making a living and not taking a lot of risk. One of the most disappointing things that could happen, Jim, is, you know, you got a huge position in something. Could be any stock. Could be a quality name, like a Costco, which got nailed last week, you know, down 70 points, or even NVIDIA, which is the, you know, the hot number in the AI world, and it drops 150, and others, you know, overnight, and you're sitting there with a position, and then, you know, that doesn't feel too good. So, I don't like those kind of surprises. I don't like coming in on a Monday or Tuesday morning with a nice position in something and suddenly all your profits taken from you. Sometimes you can't control it, but what you can control is if you are trading and, if you can try to minimize your exposure overnight, it's not a bad idea. So thank you for mentioning the timing aspect of it, but it's also how to manage the trades.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
Well, we got really overbought here, and the CNN has this confidence bullish bear index they put out every day, and most of our listeners could just pull it up if they go to CNN, and you just, the official term for it, I think, is the confidence index, if I'm not mistaken correctly. And basically, it just showed that we were at a huge extreme here on the overall bullish sentiment. And, you know, we're just due for, you know, anything goes too far in one direction, too fast, you're going to get that type of reading. So that's one thing. You know, you don't have to look at the CNN index, but that's like one measure of confidence or exuberance in the market. But one of the really interesting things that came up the last few days, just over this past weekend, Barron's magazine came out with a cover story with a picture of a bull with the horn sticking up right on the front cover. And the title of the piece was "Bet on the Bull." So a few years ago, and I still have it in my files here on my PowerPoint presentations, I used to go through all the examples of the financial press bet it wrong on the markets, you know, getting bullish at the top or bearish at the bottoms in all types of markets. And I got to pull that out. Some of really old examples. One of the big, most classic ones was way back, I think it was March 2020, which was right at the top of the internet dot com bubble. And the day of the top, I think at that time, shows you how prices have changed in all these years. I think the price on the NASDAQ at that time was 5,000. You know, now we're looking at a 16,000 NASDAQ in all these years. But right at the top, they came out with that cover story. And I think it was Barron's as well. So one hit this weekend. And what I'm trying to say is the financial press generally gets it wrong. So when I saw this come out this weekend, I say that's that we probably hit the top of the market. And sure enough, you know, we've been weak and we may continue weak. And that'd be a surprise to many who have been betting, you know, on a Super Bowl market here all year. Now, I'm not saying we can't rally and maybe the January barometer will be right and we will end up net higher. After all, it's a presidential election year and there's a lot of manipulation going on in the markets right now, but which is always the case. But anyway, that Barron story, I think, was quite significant. So we have the confidence index to overconfidence. We have, you know, some of the AI stocks is going absolutely crazy. Even Bitcoin, which, as you know, I've been very, very bullish on for the longest time here, you know, got way up there in the 70s, new record highs. And, that's starting to pull off here a little bit, you know, so force of gravity, you know, does prevail at some point here. So I think, and, you know, we talked about some of the geocosmic stuff and, you know, they don't talk about this on CNBC or BNN or any other places, but, you know, we do have the vernal equinox coming up here the third week of the month. And there are many instances, which I've mentioned hundreds of times, that, and you can do your own research, that markets hit lows around the vernal equinox. So, you know, it doesn't have to be on the exact day. And, of course, tomorrow is the Ides of March, which is not a very promising day. Particularly if you were a Julius Caesar, of course, but, you know, so this is a time of year where you tend to get some indigestion in the markets and the market's way overbought here. So, and I've been writing, you know, there could be another outlier event, something that nobody expects suddenly happens. And usually that way, you know, and suddenly, some surprise event strikes and the market just opens up to the downside, opens down big, and everybody panics, and it's something they didn't expect to see coming, and it did come. So in any event, that's it. Short term, be a little careful here. It is a presidential election year, and, you know, they could obviously stage another big rally here, and we're just following our models and our volume. So I'm short and cautious here.
What's going on with gold?
Well, it got up to almost 2,200, Jim. It was at 2,193. I think it was the high. Overbought as well. Got a little too ahead of itself. I've been looking for 2,700, you know, if we can clear that triple top, you know, which was almost a quadruple top, which is that 2060, 2070 area. We finally did it. And, you know, most of the shares didn't do too well, but the metal itself did. Silver is way behind. You know, if you're looking for a bargain somewhere, silver is, should catch up at some point. It's way under, you know, record highs. I mean, silver, you know, you're looking at, what, $25, $26 an ounce. The record high was 50, you know, way, way away from its high. So there might be a catch-up play there. It should be at some point. So gold's still bullish. There's so much going on in the world with the BRIC nations, with uncertainty regarding the debt, distrust of government. That's one of the reasons Bitcoin and cryptos have been doing better. So we finally got that multi-year breakout. So, you know, I was thinking ballpark number, you know, I'm not saying it's tomorrow, but that 2600-2700 area looks promising. And then, you know, if the BRIC nations take over and they want to back currencies with gold and discredit the dollar, which is their goal, there's no limit to where gold could go. And, you know, Russia, China has been accumulating it. Central banks have been accumulating it. From what I understand, the exchanges like the COMEX, the Commodity Futures Exchange, have difficulty in making delivery on the contracts when people demand delivery versus cash for settlement. So there's just not a lot of the metal around, and that's going to drive prices higher. I mean, trying to get physical metal in any quantity is difficult. So the trend is up finally, and the only obstacle in its way is the ongoing multi-decade actions on the part of governments, particularly the U.S. government, in suppressing the price of gold, using all kinds of shenanigans to do it, many of which were illegal activities, which is documented in a lot of material. If you go over to the website GATA.org, G-A-T-A.org, they have done decades of research in government manipulation and suppression of the gold price. So, you know, it's unfortunate. We all think we have free markets out there, but unfortunately that's not necessarily the case. So, but that aside, I think the powers that be, you know, have lost control a bit, or maybe a great deal. And, I think the BRIC nations are going to end up, succeeding. And that means the dollar is going to go kaput, gold go through the roof. Have some new currencies back with gold, and there's going to be a whole different world ahead. So got to, you know, stick with it. Like anything else, you can trade it. If you have ETFs for gold and stocks, you can trade them along the way, which is more fun than just sitting there with the coin sitting in the vault. But that's my opinion.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Any action on the cannabis front?
Boy, that's a hot subject right now. In fact, tomorrow morning, I believe, Kamala Harris, I should say, I didn't pronounce her name, is going to host a marijuana reform event at the White House with Fat Joe. That's the Grammy-nominated artist, along with some other notables. And Joe Biden, you know, her partner, has indicated, you know, he did at the State of the Union address that something needs to be done about I guess reversing the discrimination against those who are criminalized for having marijuana and so forth. So you know, they're looking for votes, but you know, obviously a lot of the legislation and laws were not appropriate. You know, jailing people for years for handling marijuana. Many of the reasons for that is because it was labeled as a Schedule I drug by the DEA here in the U.S. and there's been talk, you know, since last, I think, October, November, that they were going to deschedule it down to 3, which would make it, I guess, as safe as aspirin, supposedly, versus 1, which is the same category as heroin. So, you know, that plus the Banking Act, which is still in Congress, which is supposed to, you know, loosen up the control of, you know, the banking industry with regard to marijuana and doing business and inability to get credit and use credit cards and deposit your money. And also the Internal Revenue Service, you know, our tax system here in the U.S., the way it's structured right now, if you're in a marijuana business, since it's specifically illegal federally, even though it's legal in states, you can't deduct expenses. So as you run your legal cannabis business in a state, the federal government doesn't recognize it as a legal business, so your whole taxation and bookkeeping is thrown into out of kilter. It's really crazy when you think about it. So that's the Banking Act issue, and then you got the DEA issue with the rescheduling of it. So Kamala is going to be there talking about marijuana reform tomorrow. So I've been bullish on the cannabis stocks here because they're really cheap and you know, way down. And not to say they're going back to the new highs, but, you know, some of the U.S.-based cannabis companies, and I'm not going to mention names, they're in my newsletter, make money. Unfortunately, many of the Canadian names, as you know, some of the big names out there, I guess the one of the biggest was Tilray, which was $300 a share one day, now it's $1, and so forth. Canopy Growth was the other big one, which was launched in Canada, I think it was 2014 or 2015, at $1 a share, and it went to about $60 a share, and now it's trading for pennies. So the Canadian management of the business hasn't been all that good. But some of these U.S. companies are making money and expanding, particularly in the various states that have legalized marijuana, and those could do well, particularly if they're even better than they're doing. With the if the legislation changes, so we'll see what happens here. I think they're cheap, and we'll see what Kamala does tomorrow and what Joe Biden does. But I think politically, he did mention it in the State of the Union, as I talked about a moment ago, that they're pushing for, you know, a more easy marijuana climate here on a federal level. So that should benefit the shares.
Just looking at research, Canada nationwide legalized marijuana back in October 17th, 6 years ago now. Wow. And a study shows that amongst teenagers, use hasn't gone up, but it has in the most common use group, 18 to 24-year-olds. And then after that, I guess the thrill is worn off, and older people tend to use it for things like arthritis.
Right. Here in Arizona, for example, and I'm sure it's in other places around the country, you know, Sun City, the retirement area, is one of the biggest purchasers of marijuana, but so much of it is in the CBD form, which doesn't have the THC component in it, which is near the, the narcotic aspect of it, you know, where it makes you high and so forth. So, but there's still medical benefits to it. It's more anecdotal. You know, you talk to doctors and they, you know, claim there's no scientific evidence or proven, but there has been in anecdotal studies, and it's been around only about 5,000 years. So, I know people that have used it in various forms and just claim, you know, real positive results from it. So I don't need the government to tell me whether it's good or not. What the government doesn't like, obviously, for many years, and particularly the drug companies, is the fact that this is something, you know, can be grown naturally or processed naturally. You don't have to pay ridiculously high prices for an artificial substance, which is what the drug companies generally create. So there's obviously been pressure for a long time to downplay any benefits for marijuana or CBD. That's another very positive point for me, you know, that I have known people and I've read research of people that have benefited from it in various forms. So it's like anything else, nothing is an answer, but it does have its place and it has had its place in humankind for the longest time. So anyway, it's all political, all related to money and power, and unrelated to whether the marijuana is good for you or not good for you. So right now it's political, because there's votes out there, and I guess Biden and Kamala, you know, want more votes, so they, you know, they want to do marijuana reform, thinking that's going to appease a lot of people that might not have voted for them, but it should happen anyway.
Yeah, in states where they were looking at legalizing, most of the ads against marijuana legalization were funded by the alcohol and tobacco industries.
Yeah, that's funny, because some of the big people that were around some of the conventions, and I attended these years ago, were representatives of some of the tobacco companies, including Philip Morris and so forth. They were snooping around, figuring out how they could get into that business. And, you know, many have indirectly, you know, with those you know, those little smokeless devices, and some have, you know, just flavors and smoke and color in them, and they didn't have marijuana in them, but they had a little artificial electronic cigarettes and stuff. So they sort of eased into the market with that. And I think, you know, if it gets legalized, then you're going to see all kinds of, Marlboro marijuana cigarettes, but maybe they'll be electronic versus, the actual cigarettes. So I assure you the big, tobacco companies are going to get involved in this, have already, and some have made some secret acquisitions that I had read about into the industry. And, so they're benefiting indirectly now and more directly later. I do want to mention that we do have a event coming up on the geocosmic front. You know, we discussed this a little earlier in the interview, but, come April 8th, we have a, solar eclipse, a huge one. And, it's the real question is, it's April 8th exactly, and it has sparked some concerns about potential catastrophic events, including seismic activity and natural disasters. And the path of the solar eclipse, it cuts right through the United States. It goes from the northeast corner, I'm roughing it out for you, like from Maine down through Texas and New Mexico. So there's this New Madrid Fault that exists in the middle of the United States, and it's actually one of the biggest faults in the world, and had to do with the formation of the Mississippi River and all kinds of interesting things. There's been a lot of prophecies and projections about it, but just like we talk about Yellowstone and the super volcano, these are things that just not talked about every day, but there are potential disaster points like this New Madrid Fault or like the Yellowstone super volcano basin and so forth that are big risks. So some of the research that I'm reading right now says not that any of this is going to happen, but it's certainly interesting to watch if you're scientifically oriented or even curious about these things, besides going out and trying to see the solar eclipse yourself, to see if there is any impact. Apparently there's some correlation to the solar eclipse, and how and why that would be, I can't explain scientifically, but between its impact on the Earth itself, beside just a visual event in the sky, and according to some of the theorists here that I'm reading, there could be some event here, rumblings in Yellowstone, the New Madrid Fault starting to shake people up a little bit, and that's in the middle of the U.S. So it's on the calendar. It'll be funny because, I do a lot of cycle work, and we talk about the markets being weak now. I mean, what if we're weak into April and we do have an event like that? Very interesting stuff. It's not something that's on the headlines of Barron's or the Wall Street Journal, but it could have an impact. So maybe it's much ado about nothing, but I'm certainly paying attention to it. So just throwing that out there, keep an eye on. You might want to do a little research, pull up the 2024 solar eclipse and see what you're reading on in the conventional press about it.
Well, yes, you have the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun all lining up together. If you have a fault that is faulty, a weak edge or something, it could very easily get let go, couldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Just
so
with that little extra graph. Yeah.
That's what the research is saying. It'll be interesting, and some are referring to prophecies and all kinds of things about something like this happening tied to that kind of event. So, some of it's real extreme. A lot of it is apocalyptic stuff, this is when, the super volcano is going to go off in Yellowstone, stuff like that. If that happens, we're all a goner. So we don't want to think about that one, but, and it may turn out to be just a beautiful visual event, and we won't see any reactions on the Earth. But I was surprised to see all this research come out about that connection, and we'll see how it all plays out. Maybe we'll get just little rumblings somewhere and then nothing significant, or maybe, nothing at all. But we'll find out. Should be fun.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
Great. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.